Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Photographer and architecture critic Tom Bamberger is no stranger to our show. Over the years, he's offered us pointed commentary and criticism of Milwaukee's architecture, old and new, public art, and how our green spaces should be designed. He writes a regular column about all of these things for UrbanMilwaukee.com called In Public.
Today, we're pulling back the focus a bit to talk about design itself. Why is it important? What makes it good or bad? And perhaps most importantly, who gets to decide?
Wow. Well, the last article I wrote about the Hams building, I put in people want to have community committees and they want to have input. And this is sort of a canard today. We need more community input on everything. First of all, you have to ask yourself what community. People all define different communities. But by and large, that doesn't create good design. What that does is prevent horrible design.
Which is not a bad thing.
Which is not a bad thing. But it also prevents, for the most part, really great design. So if you think about it, a lot of the buildings, if you listen to the language of the so-called community oversight, you would find that most of the buildings we love in Milwaukee couldn't have been built, starting with the American Bank building. It's out of scale. Or the boathouse on Cambridge. So I don't think community is the answer. And the problem is it really takes a, you know, like it takes a community to get good buildings. But it's not the community activists or community committees. What it is you compete. When people start building good buildings, people value good buildings. Then when you put up your building, you don't want to look like a schlub.
Well, how do you define a good building, though? I guess that's what I want to get to, is when we talk about design, a lot of it is so subjective in a lot of ways, what taste is. You know, it sounds like we're trying to arbiter taste. You know, we're trying to say, this is tasteful, this isn't, or this is what, you know
okay,
what I'm trying to get to?
Yes, and yeah. I think it's not as subjective as you think.
Okay.
I mean, if you picked up anything that was designed well, and you put it in your hand, if you had a nice knife that was designed, or anything, you kind of know what a good design is. And what a good design is people care about it. And they put work into it, and they think about it, and they think about how it's balanced and so forth. Now, that doesn't necessarily guarantee a good building, but at least you want people to try to make a good building. My problem with, like, take the Climpton Hotel in the Third Ward. I mean, that building was obviously highly influenced by the committee it had to go through. They have a rather strict committee down there. So you want to build a building in the Third Ward, you look at their guidelines, and it's basically invisible. The idea was that it's blended so thoroughly into its environment that you really can't see it. And the Climpton Hotel in the Third Ward should be a signature building. It should have a little more of an ego. It should have a little more pizzazz. So there's some inherent problems with the community aspect. And if you look at the buildings that have been built in Milwaukee, even the Pfister Hotel, you go back, almost all the buildings that we love were done despite something. They weren't done because of it. It's just like a kid in art school. If you're going to be a good artist, you're going to be a good artist despite art school, not because of it. And what you really need in buildings, the first thing you need is you need a little ego. Now, it's funny that Hams, you know, has obviously a lot of ego with his building, this whole Jeffersonian thing. So ego isn't enough. You need ego, money, and then I think you got to be lucky. The problem with the park is a little different. The problem with the park is there is no infrastructure in the city of Milwaukee. There's not a real planner like Peter Park. There's really no one to have a discussion with at the city with design. So someone comes with an idea. These community groups come with an idea. And they say, this is a really good idea, but what about this? What about that? So essentially, the city gives up this park, leased it to some nonprofit for 25 years, giving away these public spaces because they don't know what to do with it. They don't have anything to do with it. And as a result, you end up with a real amateur product. So consider this. I mean, experience matters. So all these people are designing this park for the first time, and we're talking about Palafito Park in my neighborhood. And if you went on the internet and looked up all of the recipes and, you know, spent a lot of time thinking about how to make an omelet, your first omelet wouldn't be so good. So in other words, we don't really have a creative process that interfaces community interests with the city. There's no discussion there. If there was a good discussion, it wouldn't be like, here's this formula. So if you can't have a good discussion, you got to have a formula. You got to have rules. You have to have committees that apply rules. And one other thing, I mean, when people going back to your original question, you know, people have always asked Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington, what's jazz or whatever, and they would always say, well, you know, I don't know. There's just two kinds of music, good and bad. And they'll never tell you what's good and what's bad because we don't always know what's good until we do it.
Do we know at the time we're making it that something is going to stand the test of time? I mean, I think that's one of the questions. It's like somebody could come along and design a building that you and I might think is awful.
Yes, that happens a lot.
But, you know, 500 years from now, assuming we're all still here, somebody could look at that and go, that is a brilliant example of a, you know, early 21st century, blah, 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 blah. And, I mean, were people saying to Palladio at the time he was building, you're fabulous, and this stuff is great, was it just of the time?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, what buildings actually get to last? So it's sort of survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the Northwestern train station came down and Penn Station came down, that started the historic preservation movement. Because people were making these horrible decisions. But generally speaking, I think that the market, you know, the really nice buildings, first of all, nice buildings are well built, so they tend to last.
So but it can still be ugly.
Yes, they can still be ugly. I mean, if you take the Third Ward, for example, there's all these lovely buildings there now. They were built after a fire. And why are they lovely? They're not lovely because there was a style guide. Because when you get a style guide, basically that allows you to figure out all these ways to cheat, you know, to do the minimal to apply the style to the building. So what happened in the Third Ward is it was I don't remember when the fire was, but they built all these things. And they built what they thought was a quality building at the time, and they had these materials and these craftsmen, and buildings that were built before World War II in America were really, really good buildings. So, but it wasn't like there was a style guide. So it seems to me what the Clinton should have done is done the same thing that was originally in the Third Ward. Take the spirit of, you know, what's good. Now, what can we do today with contemporary materials and contemporary ideas to have the same intention as the people that built those old buildings? So I don't really, you know, I don't think there are any answers. And I think this is one of the things, it's in the realm of art. The problem with art is whenever you answer the question, the art's horrible. You know, in other words, you really need just to maintain the question. And in the present, there are going to be a lot of bad buildings. And what I said in the Ham story, which no one in the comments cared to think about, I said basically, you know, it's okay that we have this idiotic building. It's an embarrassment to Jefferson's legacy. It's an embarrassment to Ham's, although he doesn't know it. But this is the way we learn. There's enough good buildings downtown. And I think that's the way life goes on. Someone has to want to do something good for it to be good. One person.
Well, you used a word earlier that I think is interesting too, which is intention. And I think a lot, and this gets back to community, however we define it, and it gets back to, you know, people wanting to improve their space, whatever form that takes. And I think there's no one. I would go out on a limb and venture that there's not one person out there that says, you know what, I want to make something ugly. You know, I want to make something really atrocious. I think most people are well-intentioned and they want their space to look good, whatever that is. And I think it's that whatever that is that we're trying to talk about.
Well, you're talking about houses.
I'm talking about the green space. I'm talking about your park. You know, people want the things around them to be beautiful, I think.
Right, but that's a public. Well, I think what you're saying is true when it comes to houses. And even if you go to some of the poorer neighborhoods in Milwaukee, you'll see these beautiful houses that are cared for. There's plants, they're painted. And the reason that they're beautiful is it does exactly what you say. They've lived in this house for 10 years. They're not renting it. And over a 10-year period, they painted it one year, they fixed the porch, they planted a tree, and it's beautiful. It's a natural thing for human beings to do when they're invested in the neighborhood.
But that's it. Why not the public spaces and why not the public buildings? I don't you think people are good-intentioned in those realms as well?
I don't think so, no. And, not necessarily.
Okay.
I think that, I mean, when you go, there's something called value engineering. In architecture, it's really a really amazing thing now because it's all in the computer. So you come up with an idea, and first of all, you have to get, you know, so-called the community to accept it. But once you do that, you realize it's going to cost you a little too much money. So you can take out 2% of the cost And before you know it, the building has gotten a little fatter, the floors have gotten a little shorter. And what we've become so good at is value engineering buildings for the inside, not the outside. Because remember, the suburban, after World War II, up until really 2000, almost all the buildings built in America were built in the suburbs. And the buildings in the suburbs are designed to see at 60 miles an hour from the freeway. So then you go to a big parking lot. They're not really something that we live with. Like, it's not like anybody gets up in the morning in Whitefish Bay and sees a Sears store. You know, in other words, it was what you get in the suburbs is you get to look at your own bush, you know.
So, right, or the neighbor's
right,
house.
Right, so that idea of a shared public space, that's all I really write about, is that the architecture that we share, that's part of our lives. You don't really have architecture as part of your life when you live in the suburbs. And so Hams is essentially took a suburban ethic, a suburban idea, and brought it into the city. And I think he really likes Jefferson. And if Jefferson were alive, I'm sure that Jefferson would hate Hams.
Well, but, and then you're going back to, or at least it sounds like we're talking again about an intention. I mean, he intended to have a good building. You know, whether he succeeded or not is another thing.
Well, but here's the thing. So if you had some infrastructure at the city, I mean, you have to understand that when it comes to the infrastructure of the city, when it comes to the physical nature of the city, the Barrett administration is like a folk singer who gets up and plays really loud and can't tune his guitar. It just is not on their radar. They don't hear it. They don't see it. What it takes a long time for even Norquist to learn is that cities are really hardware. They're not software. He's a software guy. He does programs and gets up in the morning and tries to make people happy. I mean, give you a perfect example, the park. Well, I mean, the one thing, the most obvious thing the city could do, I mean, the simplest thing is you have a tree and put out really nice furniture. Furniture. I mean, it's not that complicated. The city has furniture that is unnice in purpose so that you don't sit in it. But they're more worried about loiterers than they are, you know, or someone that, God forbid, would lay down on a bench than they are about people that actually exist in the city.
Okay, so is there an answer? Is there, I mean, or is this just a discussion we continue to have and hope that people hear some of it and build better buildings and better public spaces?
Oh, well, I'm thinking about that, thinking about actually writing and answering that question more directly. I don't think there's a simple answer, but the one thing that I would do in the short term before we get the answer, I mean, look, I haven't figured out the answer to many things in my life. Yeah, how are you doing on that?
Yeah, not so good.
Not so good, right? So, but what you can do, I think the first step, I think, is to look at some of the things that we think are going to improve it with a little more skepticism and figure out a way not just to play defense. Rem Koolhaas, famous architect in my story, I quote him, he says, you know, the great thing about cities is that no one's in charge. The suburbs, I mean, if you go to Mequon, someone's in charge. They have all the rules and people follow the rules. What's interesting about cities and what's actually interesting about life as well is there's more randomness, there's more surprise, there's more incongruities than we would like if any one person was in charge. If, you know, if you were in charge or I was in charge or anybody was in charge. So I think what you want to have is a marketplace for good ideas and then somewhere at the city, which we don't have, where you can have a good discussion. And the city has a little bit of a clout. Now, without that step, without that intellectual capital at the city, that step's taken away. I think that's the most important thing. And the other thing really is, I worked at the art museum and I always, you know, used to say, you know, that the community gets the museum it deserves. I think the same thing is true of architecture. It comes from us. And if we become more aspirational, look at the Steve Jobs new headquarters. I mean, you understand when people have aspirations, when they think the material world matters, they try harder.
So let's try harder.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a little old for that.
But there's a lot of young people behind us, Tom.
Yeah.
So, Tom Bamberger, as always, such a great conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Tom Bamberger is a photographer and architecture critic. He writes the In Public column for Urban Milwaukee.